Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, and I am here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So this is fun. This is one of our More Than Mom episodes, which if you are brand new around here, just to explain the difference, every Tuesday we have a parenting topic and it's much more about motherhood and parenting, tends to be a little more practical. And then twice a month or so on Sundays, we do these More Than Mom episodes and it's kind of a free for all, Megan.
We talk about whatevs.
It's whatevs. It tends to be light and fluffy. We tend to move them kind of quickly. And when we hear back from you guys, it's kind of like you get to play along. So we usually pick a topic that sort of like, I don't know, pop culture, fashion, food, things that just are fun to talk about with your girlfriends. So today I'm really excited. We are talking about something very important to all of us, and that is sleep.
Something we should be spending about a third of our lives doing.
Yeah.
It's very important.
When you think about it that way, right? Well, and it's yeah. And when you're in the throes of new motherhood, most of the sleep you think about is your baby's sleep or your kid's sleep, or maybe the sleep that you are not getting. But we have this lovely rose-colored position that we are in now where those years are mostly behind us. And I think today we're mostly going to talk about our own sleep quirks and habits. But of course, kid wake-ups, it filters in.
Right.
You know,
can't
it's all
help
related.
It.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to launch right in, Megan, and I have a few kind of quick warm-up questions for you. Ready?
Okay,
what is on your nightstand right now?
Ooh, okay. I saw this question, but I did not clean up my nightstand. So
good. And you do record
today,
in bed. So
I do record in bed. Okay, so I have, for some reason, I have 2 scented linen sprays. I don't know why. I only need one, and I only use one probably once a month, but I like the way they look on my counter.
So tell me what that is. That's like a pillow spray?
It's like a pillow spray, like a linen spray. It makes your stuff smell good. Okay. I use it probably about once a month, just when I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I have 2 bottles of lotion and a jar of like butter, like body butter. That's just really cute. I rarely use it because it's very, very greasy. I got it like at a local, you know, like health food store or something.
Okay.
I have a candle.
Okay.
That I got. I get this candle. I want to see like Anthropology or something. It's like it was a fancy, expensive
one.
It's made of cut glass. It's really pretty. Kind of like a jadeite color.
Ooh,
love
pretty.
It. I have 2 LaCroix cans, 1 empty, 1 full. I heard from our sound engineer one time that he heard me crack a LaCroix can during an episode. And here's the funny thing. I had no idea I did it. Like I went on total like autopilot.
Yeah.
And cracked it open. I have my Philips wake up light alarm clock.
Okay.
Which I also kind of use as a bedside lamp sometimes because it's got this nice glowing light that I find like less harsh.
Nice.
I've got my yoga schedule taped above my nightstand. So it's not on the nightstand, but it's like right next to it. So I'm looking at that right now.
I like it.
I've got a Michigan coaster that my sister got me from a little Michigan gift store in her town. And then I've got my David's tea mug on top of that with that you could see if you watched Clara and my tea time video the other day.
So cute.
And I've got a cup of loose leaf English breakfast tea.
So you are
with cream and sugar.
You are beverage rich as usual.
I am so beverage rich right now. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is I put this question in and then I forgot to look at my own nightstand and I don't record in my bed. But mine is pretty cleaned off right now. And so on mine, I have a big fat nonfiction book that is mostly decoration because I don't really read before bed. We'll get into that. It is a book I want to read at some point this year, but it's not really what I'm currently reading. It looks pretty though. And then I have a little marble dish that we got in our FabFitFun, that Pure One little like,
yeah, just, that's actually on my other side of my bed, like not in my dresser next to my bed.
You can put your rings in there. I don't really put anything in it, but it looks pretty. There is a lamp on my bedside table and I don't know, other things collect there, but and there is a framed picture, kind of a black and white photo that I took of my kids. And right now that's kind of it. I will say it gets cluttered sometimes, but right now it's kind of clean slate for the new year.
So. Now, do you have like a double decker, like a multi-surfaced? Like mine has a drawer and then another.
Yes.
I don't even know what's down on my second. I'm putting my hand down there and kind of feeling around. Yikes.
It's like the abyss.
I think it's where all the books I'm reading and then I'm not that into fall.
You know which books are there on mine? It's parenting books that media people send us in the mail. It's like they don't make it to my regular bookshelves downstairs. Yeah. But I always think, well, I might want to give this to somebody or if someone like wants some parenting resources. So I actually have a bunch of parenting books, a lot of them very good ones, but that's just the de facto shelf. And then I do have a drawer that's full of like unsharpened pencils and headphones or something.
I have a ponytail holder.
That's always useful.
A roll of toilet paper. I must have been blowing my nose or something one night. Oh, my Kindle fell down there last night. I wonder what happened to that.
Nice. Gosh.
Oh, and a chapstick with the lid off. Great.
Nice.
I think I need to do some cleaning.
Right. Okay. We're not even like talking about sleep yet. Okay.
I know.
So tell me about your pillow, the main pillow you sleep on.
Okay. So I'm very particular about pillows. I like them to be pretty squishy.
Okay.
And I don't really know what brand this pillow is. It's actually gotten to be almost a little too squishy. I switch my pillows out pretty often. And what I'll usually do is just, I'm not brand specific or anything. I just go to TJ Maxx and feel up their pillows and then buy the one that feels the best to me.
Yep.
So my bed has four pillows on it, and the front two pillows are the ones that I would sleep on. And if I had a guest, would sleep on, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And they're very squishy, and like I can feel the batting in them breaking down. So it probably means it's almost time to get a new one. But then I also bought two firm pillows that are behind those pillows that kind of hold them up and are good for a backrest if I'm working in bed.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I am actually not very pillow picky. I'm so picky about so many things, but I think I just, once I am going to sleep, I go to sleep.
You don't care anymore.
Brian has like a high end, you know, what are they called? Not memory foam, but some kind of like,
I know what you're talking about.
Good for your neck and back pillow. And it's like really heavy. So whenever I make the bed, it's like three light pillows and then this like brick.
And they're hard to get the pillowcase on. Because there's like, I was
his like is not because we have like the king size pillowcases. So it actually kind of floats around in there. All right. These were meant to be quick, but you know us. My last little quickie question is, how did you sleep last night? What time did you actually go to bed? And did you wake up at all in the middle of the night? And what time did you get up for good?
Well, I'm very excited. And I know that this is supposed to be quick. And we could talk about this a little bit more later. But I've had really crappy sleep for the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And you know how when you have crappy sleep, you start to get anxious?
Yes. Oh, totally.
You're going to have crappy sleep. And then that makes you have even worse sleep.
Yep.
So I've been kind of in this bad cycle. But last night was the first night my kids haven't been here in 4 or 5 days. And so I was like, it doesn't even matter. I'm just going to stay up as late as I want and sleep until I'm done. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it took a lot of the anxiety out of it. And I actually had a really nice calming evening. And I went to bed at probably about midnight and I slept until I've been doing this thing where I wake up at 4:30, but instead of freaking out about it and panicking, I just woke up and thought, it's okay. And then I went back to sleep and I slept until 8:30. So I got a great night's sleep.
Nice. Excellent.
Yeah. Feeling good.
Well, I fell asleep on the couch watching the show Billions. And but when I fall asleep on the couch, Brian looks at me. He's like, all right, we're going to bed. Like, I don't sleep for an hour or anything. Like, yeah, I just drift off because I don't like that feeling of then having to be all disoriented and relocate. Yeah. But I did fall asleep on the couch, then got up, washed my face, probably was asleep in my bed at 9 o'clock. And I don't think anything woke me up in the middle of the night. So I think then I slept till our alarm at 5. So 9 to 5.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Also, isn't that 8 hours? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm finding now, midnight is actually a very natural time for me to fall asleep as long as, because I get up about 7, about 7, 7:15, as long as I sleep all the way and I don't do that. I mean, I can wake up for a sec and rustle around and go to the bathroom or something. But as long as I, you know, I'm able to get myself back down, that's about perfect for me.
Yeah.
About 7 hours and a little change is great. It's when those 7 hours are jacked up or I have weird dreams or I'm not really sleeping or, you know what I mean, tossing and turning.
Yeah.
That's when it's a problem.
There's no buffer at 7 hours. There's no like extra. So if it starts to creep towards 6 and it's several nights in a row. Yeah. Okay. Well, whenever you do our More Than Mom episodes, lead the way. We always go back and talk about when we were kids. And I love that. I think it's so fun. But I decided we're going to do that in the second half of the show. So we're going to keep going with kind of how we are with sleep in this stage of life. But later on, we'll get in our time machine. So my next question is, what is one good sleep habit you think you have? And then one that is maybe not so good right now in this phase?
I'm typically really good at just getting in bed and going to sleep. Now, there are always times when that's different. Like I'm going, you know, I've been going through a high stress time that makes it harder not to have your mind wandering and, you know, stuff like that. But like usually I'm good at getting in bed and doing things that help support that. So reading or whatever.
Right.
So that's a good habit. I don't even know if it's a habit or just a tendency. Like it just happens that way. I don't have like, and I don't have a super erratic schedule either. I'm not like one night in bed at 9 and one night in bed at 2 or whatever. I keep it pretty, pretty, pretty routine and I typically get enough sleep. So my probably not so good habit is that in the morning I tend to lie around a lot if I get the chance and sometimes fall back asleep. And I've just realized it's like, it feels good when I'm doing it, but it's really not very counterproductive, or it's not very productive and it makes me feel foggy. And so, I mean, sometimes it's necessary if I really got a bad night's sleep and I have to like lie around or whatever, or I'm sick, that's fine. But I just think I'm better when I just get up and get my day going. So I'm working on changing that.
It's funny when we travel together, and when you travel, everything's different anyway. But I actually love that about you. Like, we probably get up around the same time, but I like get up and I'm like, where's the coffee? Where's my ponytail? Like, let's go. And you're like awake, but you're just chilling and you have your breakfast in bed and you have your computer.
I'll never stop doing that on vacation though. Yeah. It's like I need time to ease into my day.
Yeah.
And so it's not the lying around part that's the problem. It's more like the not really being up part, like not really being awake. So
Yeah.
So what about you?
So the habit that is not so good right now, I actually think is falling asleep on the couch a little too early. This early to bed, early to rise, it's like, it is great. And it works really well for our lifestyle. And I really love my mornings, but falling asleep before 9 o'clock just feels like giving up kind of. As much as I love our TV time in the evening, that is truly, it's not passive. We are actively watching a show together. It's like something we love to do together. But I used to only occasionally fall asleep on the couch in the middle of a show, and now I almost always do it. So something, it could be as simple as changing my position when we're watching our show and just making a clean break. Like, now I am watching TV downstairs, then I'm going to get up, go wash my face. And then you get that a teeny little second wind, and I might even be able to read or something before bed. Right. But this like just... It just reminds me of like this slow slump to the end of the day where instead of an intentional, like, now it is bedtime, I just sort of pass out on the couch. So I would like I would like to change that.
Well, and one thing I was going to actually ask you when you said you fall asleep on the couch, like so for me to fall asleep on a couch would have to be a dire situation. Like,
really?
That would never just
happen.
For
me falling asleep in the morning again, that I would have to have like mono or something. The way that you say that you can go back to sleep at like 9 in the morning, I would have to be on my deathbed.
That's funny. Okay. So here's the problem with that though. If I was in a place where I literally could fall asleep watching TV on the couch, like the stars would have to align. I would have to be so fatigued. And the problem with that is when I fall asleep like that, I get nervous when sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the night I'm going to go to bed super early. But there's a very good chance, I'm going to say as high as 50%, that I will fall asleep immediately. And it's like that good feeling, like you get in bed and you're so exhausted and everything, like you are feel warm and cozy and like your eyes are heavy. But there's a very good chance I will wake up 15 minutes later and be up.
And then be up. Yeah.
So that's very risky for me. So if I was in a place where I even could fall asleep on a couch, I'd already be like behind.
Right.
Like
you'd be removing yourself from that situation. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I have pretty good habits around sleep. Oh, one good habit I will mention is I stopped having my phone by my bedside. We talked about our New Year's intentions recently, but I stopped actually midway through 2018 or maybe beginning of 2018, a full year ago, having my phone by my bed. And that is a good habit. We talked about it in our last episode. So I don't reach over for my phone, even if I'm up too early or in the middle of the night, it's just not there. And I have a different clock situation. And so that's a habit I feel good about. Okay. So tell me about your ideal bedding and covers situation. We talked about pillows. Is what you are sleeping on right now pretty good for you? And if not, what would you change?
So I'm a stickler for really nice sheets.
Okay.
I really like very soft sheets. I like them to feel cool. I have a hard time with like flannel sheets.
Right.
Can't get into that. My bedding right now is this like ridiculous single lady bedspread I bought at Target, and it's got like peacocks on it.
Oh yeah, you sent me a picture.
And like little gilded cages. And then I bought like a fuzzy throw blanket for the end of the bed. My sheets are great. My pillowcases are actually Riley Home. That was our sponsor. Mm-hmm. And they're so soft.
I love them.
And then I think my sheets might be, I don't know, Calvin Klein or something. I probably got them at TJ Maxx. They're like high thread count. They're pretty thick. They're soft. They're sateen.
Mm-hmm.
I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. But the bedspread, I feel like might be a little hot.
Oh, okay.
I think it might be waking me up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Something I have to figure something out. I'm like not appropriately covered. So actually, the ideal for me would be like a hotel situation where they have those like really thin, like they do the double sheets, and then they have that really thin, soft light coverlet usually.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean. But sometimes they have a down comforter too.
Yeah. And that's fine too. Those tend to breathe. So I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on. It might also be that some nights I go to bed in pajama pants and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have socks on. Sometimes I don't. My heat kicks on. It's right next to my bed. Like, I haven't quite yet figured out what's happening.
Do you feel like as we get older, we get more temperature sensitive at night too? I feel like
I put that on our outline in a couple. Yes. I wake up often hot in the middle of the night. Very hot.
I just feel like I notice temperature. So for me, I get my sheets at Costco. Someone once told me that, you know, there's things at Costco that are worth or like totally worth it. And then there are others that aren't that much cheaper. And someone once told me that high-end sheets at Costco are like just a screaming deal. And I have to say, I haven't actually like done the math, but whenever I've needed sheets, and we do have a Costco membership, I just remember that like I could spend $70 on a sheet set and it's like a $200 sheet set. It's just the difference between what you're getting, the quality. So we've had a few different kind of that sateen, but they're always from Costco. I like a fair amount of weight. Now, I do have a gravity blanket. We can discuss this. I have a weighted blanket. I got it last year in the spring. I don't use it every night because it is like, it's intense. It's intense to have that weighted blanket on you. If I use it, it's really soft. It has this duvet cover on it that's like kind of velvety almost. It's so soft. But if I do use it, I want nothing else, like no sheets. That's just it. And I kind of have to be in the mood for it. It's just awkward because then I push all the rest of the bedding like to the side, which I feel like isn't fair to Brian. So I do love my weighted blanket, but it is not an every night situation. But speaking of that, I like a little weight. I like to feel, I don't want to feel hot, but I do want to feel covered. So like, if you get, I would rather have the AC on or cool the room down and still be covered in blankets. I like that feeling of being like nestled
cold,
in.
Cold, but hot is what I call it. Or cold, but warm. I was actually running my AC into, I want to say November at night, and here that's silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because it made me sleep so much better and having the cold and something of, I think the house that you're in and the like, I have a completely different experience in hotels or other people's houses than I do in my own. You've got that really airy room.
Yeah.
With that big ceiling fan. Yeah. Do you run that at night?
So we just added a ceiling fan this past year and we do run it. If we run it too fast, it makes a noise that that is annoying. So that is frustrating. But yes, we have. And that's why we put it in there, because we figured it would kind of cut down on AC a little bit just to move the air around.
So my bedroom is, you know, whatever size, it's just a normal sized bedroom, but it's in this little bungalow house and the heat in this house is so efficient and effective that my house gets way too warm. Mm-hmm. So I turn the heat off at night, which I'm sure makes my kids crazy, but like that's kind of the only way I can make it work. I've slept in other houses where I'm freezing and I want like an electric blanket and I want something really heavy. So I like the weight too, but right now it's kind of hard because I haven't figured out the balance of the warmth.
What I'm thinking about as we talk about this is like, there were so many years where all I wanted was to sleep more than like 4 hours at a stretch. And I did not have the luxury of like thinking about what kind of covers I want. Like
I didn't care at all. I was just like, can I just lie down on like, a horizontal
service?
Can I just
crawl into a hole? Yes. So anyway, if you're in that phase, someday you will get to be picky about your pillowcases and things like that. Yeah. Okay. So do you have, we've touched on this, but do you have any kind of fall asleep ritual at night? Do you read at all?
Yeah. I mean, the way I work is I stay upright until I'm tired. Uh-huh. I don't get in bed before I'm tired.
Oh, that's funny. I pictured you like when you're working at night, I picture you working in bed.
Well, I often do, but I'm not in bed. I'm on my bed.
Okay.
But I'm not in, like, I'm sitting up. Okay. My legs are on top of the covers. Okay. The lights are all on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that is interesting. Like, I know you're not supposed to have screens in your bed. That has never really been something that like stresses me out. Like I wouldn't watch a stressful show in bed at night, but I would definitely work on my computer. But it's like, it's just a different feeling. Like I have all the lights on in my room. I'm sitting up. I haven't brushed my teeth yet. I haven't put myself to bed yet.
Right.
And then once I put myself to bed, my contacts are out, all that stuff goes away. And then I read. And you, generally speaking, if I'm kind of doing all the rest of it right, like, so I'm getting enough exercise, I'm sleeping the appropriate amount at night, not too much, not too little, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It takes about 10 minutes for me to fall asleep.
Okay.
To where like, I can't even focus my eyes anymore. And that's what I strive for. That's what I like. I like that feeling. I don't really want to lie in bed and read for an hour and a half or two, because then I just end up getting a second wind.
Right. So. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Do you have any, like, do you have any music or white noise or anything like that? And do you need the room?
I like silence.
Silence and darkness.
I like utter. I like the sounds of silence. My room is dark, but I'm not one of those people, like, I have the shades drawn, but I don't, I'm not bothered by, like, streetlights outside. Right. I don't have blackout curtains. I have noticed I do better the face on my my clock, even though I can turn it all the way down to the dimmest setting, I still do better if I turn the clock toward the wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's about it. That's like really the only thing. Oh, and I have this phone charger that, like, is a battery one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having a hard time sleeping a few nights in a row, and then I realized it's because it blinked, like the lights.
Yeah, I think I'm sensitive to that kind of thing too, without really realizing it. Yeah.
So, like, steady outside light doesn't really bother me as long as it's kind of out there and not in my room. Or, like, if there's like a hall light on, that doesn't bother me. But, like, electric light, like, close to my face, will keep me awake.
Yep. No, I just switched my bedside alarm clock because I had gotten this one that was so bright on accident. I got it on Amazon, and it was just that persistent, like in a mosquito buzzing. It was just slightly too bright. So I'm the same. It's funny. I like the idea of white noise, and all my kids sleep with white noise in their rooms. Not that they need it. It's more so that I don't worry about waking them up. Like, I like the way it just sort of buffers extra noise.
Yeah.
But my issue with having white noise for myself is I also want to be able to hear things in the night if I need to get up. Like, I have kids who still will call out if Violet will still call out if she needs to go to the bathroom. She could go on her own, but she just doesn't. She calls out for me. And so I have this kind of paranoia about having white noise that's so loud next to me that I don't hear what I need to hear. And, you know, I'm rapidly exiting that phase, but I still kind of, I sleep with my door open so that I can hear. I want to know when my kids, like, stumble out to go to the bathroom. They're still fairly young. We have stairs. Like, I don't want anybody sleepwalking or anyway. So I like, I do sleep well with white noise when I have given myself the luxury, but it's not a part of my routine because it makes me anxious to block everything out.
I understand. I'm kind of the same way. Like, I get weird about not knowing what's going on in my environment. Yeah. I think that I used to be better at sleeping with music in my ears or, like, with the TV on or a fan running or something. And now I just find it like, I just want to hear nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because I want to be alert or if I'm just used to it.
Yeah. Honestly. And if I'm in, like, a busy city hotel or something, I don't mind ambient. No, I don't
me either.
Know. Ambient is maybe, I'm not sure if like that's cars the right going word. By car. Yeah. That doesn't bother me at all because it's not my concern, but in my immediate environment. Yeah. Okay.
Well, those super loud air conditioners they always have in.
Yes. And then, and especially when they kick on suddenly, my house air conditioner does that. When it kicks on, it's so loud. Okay. So are there any sleep issues that you have noticed as you get older or that you kind of are looking ahead and anticipate down the road?
So I'm not going to call it a hot flash because I'm not ready to get to be there yet. Yeah. But I definitely have moments of heat late at night. And I've honestly had those since I was in my early 30s.
Yeah, so they can be hormonal. Yeah, you can. Yeah, they can be hormonal anytime, I think.
But like it's always around like 3:34, 4:30. And I just wake up super hot and I've gotten really good at just kicking the covers off.
Right.
And then at some point I'm freezing and I put them back on and I'm fine. I could see that. I do think there's something that happens now, and I haven't really been able to link it specifically to dreams or what's going on in my life or whatever, but there's this thing where sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night with my heart racing, super anxious, and I can't figure out why, and that takes me a long time to come back.
That's happened to me before, but I don't, not like really randomly. Yeah, that's interesting. So I have had those kind of like night sweats, usually postpartum, but I will randomly have them like two or three times a year, and I always think it's like hormones or like it's not, like you said, it's not menopausal yet, but definitely something to look forward to. The one that comes up for me is this waking up early, and I mean early, too early. Like, so while 10 to 5 is great, 10 to 5:30, like my ideal if I slept in would even be like, you know, 10:30 to 6:30. But my dad is a natural early riser, as I am, and I always has been. And he has trouble staying asleep until 5 o'clock. And that is totally something I could see happening to me.
And that's like an older person thing. Like the older you get.
Exactly.
More,
but we're starting out as like already we're 5 a.m. people. And so that's what, and he, you know, it's a bummer because then you're so tired at night or so tired in the middle of the day. And when I go through bad periods of sleep, that's often what it is. It's not an issue of falling asleep. It's not a bad quality of sleep. It's I get in this cycle of I wake up at 3:45 and then can't go back to sleep. And I don't have a lifestyle right now where I could like go back to sleep till 8. So I have to get up by 5 or 6. And then is it a nap or do I just go to bed at 8? And then it just repeats all over again. So I anticipate
What do you do in those situations? Do you try to go back to sleep or do you just get up?
I wouldn't get up in the threes. I have gone through long phases where I will lie. And I just, like you said the other day, like, when it was happening to you, I just try and kind of accept it and be like, okay, I'm not going to stress out about it. But I will let myself get up at 4:15 or 4:30 if I can't sleep, and I'll go through phase, but right after the time change, cause the 1 hour time change kind of did that to me. And then it took a long time to get that out of my system. And I would just get up at 4:30 and start reading or working. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a couple times in the last couple weeks where I woke up, I want to actually maybe say it was even before the holiday, where I woke up randomly super, super early, like 4:30, and realized that the worst thing in the world is when you lie there and toss and turn for an hour and then realize like you've wasted an hour.
Right.
You're probably not going to get back to sleep. And even if you do go back to sleep, you have to get up like in an hour.
Yeah.
So you'll feel worse. So I just got up and it was weird. Like that's so unusual for me to be up that early. I'm kind of wandering around my house like, what do I do? Like there's no one to talk to.
Yeah.
There's no one's awake, but I actually kind of loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I can love it in that moment. And then it kind of makes me grumpy later because it'll be like 9 in the morning and I'll feel like I've been up for an entire day, you know? Yeah.
And I opted not to nap because I knew that that would just kind of reset me on this weird pattern I was in. But two days in a row, I was up unusually early and then I kind of just adjusted.
Yeah.
You mentioning time changes, I've always kind of sat back and chuckled to myself at how much time changes throw some people off. They've never really thrown me off that much. And I don't know if it's just because my sleep schedules have never been that routine where it's like super, like I'm always going to bed at the same time and always up at the same time. But they throw you off more, don't they?
Well, I only noticed it this year. I wouldn't have said that I was someone who was that sensitive about it. But I think because I'm so sensitive in the early mornings that getting up every day at 5 and then having 5 become 4, that hit me harder this year. And I feel like that's I don't know, just something about getting older. And because that time of day is very regular for me, it just took a while. And it's also right before the holidays. And like, I do feel like that early waking is probably a stress symptom for me too, or something, you know, once I'm slightly awake, then I can't go back or whatever. So I've been sleeping great until our alarm lately. So no complaints.
That's nice.
Okay. Last question before our ad break. And is in general, do you remember your dreams?
50% of the time. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always aware when I have dreamt.
Uh-huh.
I can usually pick out a snippet or two from the dream, but dreams are so, so freaky in the way that you wake up and you remember everything and then you forget it.
Yeah.
It just, and every time I think I won't forget this time, I always do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm kind of the same. I remember some of it some of the time. My husband has insanely detailed dreams and remembers them almost every morning. And he dreams crazy. My dreams are usually just manifestations of regular life with they add some amount, some like weird twist or some person I haven't thought about in a while. Like, but they're rooted in reality. And Brian dreams about things like flying. He dreams about being other people. Like I had a dream I was George Clooney or whatever. Like, it's always fascinated me. But I don't, I mean,
I sometimes will. And those are ones that I remember, like the memorable, they feel like I'm in a movie and that's really fun.
Yeah.
But like, usually it's like, oh, it's really weird. I was talking to this person, then they shapeshifted into this other person. But I was just at the grocery store. And
right. In my regular life. Do you remember when we were in that little cabin and I had a nightmare that someone was breaking in and I was whimpering in my sleep? I don't think that happens very often, but
it was so funny. You were like, woo, woo.
I know. I was having a true nightmare, like the kind I was dreaming that someone was basically like breaking into our little cabin, and we were staying in a cabin that was kind of in the middle of nowhere. Like there were these casitas, but they were spread out. And so there was nowhere. And so it was kind of based in reality, which made it that much scarier. And someone was like right at the sliding doors. And I was trying to, you know, like where you can't scream, you're trying to scream and you can't scream. Yep. And you were like, Sarah,
anyway, you might want to wake up.
That doesn't happen very often, but all right, well, let's take a break for our sponsor for today's show and then we'll get back into it.
Yeah, we're really excited to welcome back ModCloth, our sponsor, because you guys know how much I love their stuff. So what I love about ModCloth is they carry really youthful styles like you see the youngins wearing, the millennials, But it's actually stuff that women of any age or size can wear, and it looks good on you. Mm-hmm. Also, I love that their community is super engaged. So you're going to get a great idea about how a particular piece might look on a variety of regular people. People post pictures of themselves wearing the clothes. You're not just going to see it on a model and then wonder, oh, well, what's this going to look like on someone who's not that size, or just a normal person who's not airbrushed or lit up. And their models are actually very real, though. So shopping there is always kind of a confidence booster.
I agree. It's like a happy website. It makes me happy when I look at that stuff. So I know a lot of us are cleaning out our closets this time of year and wanting to be very intentional about only having the things in our closet that we really love and make us feel our best. And I feel like ModCloth is a great fit for that because the pieces are so unique. They have great stuff right now. If you're still craving cozy sweaters, or you're in winter mode, or even if you're stocking up for spring or going on a trip and need a new swimsuit, they've got lots of layered looks that you can kind of transition from now through when the weather warms up. So speaking of layers, Megan, I know that you are into these oversized sweaters right now that you're throwing over your yoga clothes. So how cute is this sweater I picked out for you?
I looked at it, and though my drawers are stuffed with sweaters at the moment, I may have to make room for it's the throw in the cowl sweater. It's adorable and exactly what I'm looking for.
I know. It made me think of you. So they have a full range of sizes from extra, extra small to 4X. And they have a team of stylists that can hook you up with complimentary sizing and styling help if you need it.
Yeah, we've got a great deal for you guys. So you're going to get 25% off your purchase of $100 or more. And to claim that, just go to modcloth.com. That's modcloth.com and enter the code THEMOMHOUR at checkout. Again, you're going to get 25% off your purchase of $100 or more if you go to modcloth.com. Enter the code THEMOMHOUR at checkout. You can only use it one time, and it does expire on April 7th, 2019. So do it now.
Get it done. Okay, we're going to keep going on sleep, but we're going to start to go back in time a little. And this is where we have to relive some of the really tough years that a lot of our listeners are in right now. Yeah. So when you had a million babies in a row, that's what I wrote in our outline. What was the hardest part about night waking for you? I mean, I know you were night waking. You had a whole bunch of babies all in a row. But was there one part that just felt particularly painful, or that you look back and you're like, oh, that was so hard?
You know, for me, like, I always took like infants waking up to nurse and stuff in stride. I wasn't thrilled about it, but I also co-slept, which helped a lot with that. But for me, it was like the stuff that I didn't see coming that was bad. So like whining kids standing in your room because they want, you know, another drink of water, vomiting. Oh my gosh, vomiting is the absolute worst thing to wake up to. Like, in general, when like, the kids are at an age or something, but you think they should just be over it.
Yeah, I know
whatever
exactly
it is,
what you
and
mean.
They're not.
Yes.
It's like it adds not just the waking up, which is a bummer, but it also it takes you by surprise because you don't expect it.
Yep.
And then you're like annoyed that it's happening.
Yeah,
you're. At all.
I would say more than annoyed. I have been ragey in the night just for those things where you just feel like, why is this still happening? And you know, there's a lot of parenting that still happens in the middle of the night, and we're just not our best. You can have all the tools in the toolkit during the day, but like I have bribed, yelled, cried. Like it's just hard.
Well, I've talked a lot about Owen's nighttime. I don't even know
specialties,
nighttime needs that have been different throughout his life, but have always been a little odd. And one of the things that he did, I'm going to say from the age of like 7 until pretty old, like 10 or 11, he would just stand by my bed silently and it would spook me awake.
Yeah.
Like I can't, you know, that feeling like you're being watched.
Yes.
And he would, I don't have any idea how long he was standing there. And I would wake up and scream because there's a human being just staring at you, not touching me or anything, not making any noise. I kept like blankets next to my bed, and finally was like, oh, and if you come in and you really just need to be in here, just lie down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lie down on the floor and don't scare me awake because it's really unpleasant. So
at least he was kind of old enough to like take
understand
those instructions
that,
at that point. I feel like mine, I mean, there's many things that were traumatic, but the one that felt really hard, in addition to the ones you said, because I totally agree about the things that like you think they should be over. But my second and third kids both got pretty decent bronchial, you know, when they'd get a cold, it would turn into a cough, and the coughs would be worse at night, and we would try all the tricks. But I think at a certain point, I just developed kind of anxiety about it. So you'd put them to bed. And even if they weren't super sick, I'm not talking about like, oh, their fever's high, we know we're going to be up all night. It's more the lingering cough. Like, okay, we've been dealing with this cold. going to put them to bed. They're otherwise fine. I've probably been up all night a few nights in a row, and you hear the cough start at like 9 o'clock, and then you hear it, and I'm still awake because I haven't gone to bed yet. And I just, my whole body would just absorb that tension, because sometimes the kids would actually sleep through the coughing the entire night. Other times it might wake them up. We might have to do the breathing treatment, or, you know, go
into. You're just not sure.
I'm just not sure. And it's usually so many nights in a row. And I just, I have like a physical sensation of like, oh no, not the coughing, not the coughing. Like, here we go. So that's one particularly traumatic memory. I mean, every once in a while it will still happen. Reed still will cough at night if he has a cold, but oh my gosh, it's so much better. I feel like that was so many years, and it would just, I'd hear it. They might have not even coughed during the day, but it's something about that nighttime cough. And it was like, here we go again.
Were you ever vomited on?
Oh, I'm sure I was.
I remember that feeling.
Yeah.
Smell so well.
More likely it's that I was summoned by a crying kid who had vomited in their sleep and didn't know what was happening, but then we're already all in it. So I mean, definitely been vomited on. Do you have, in the same vein, do you have a specific memory of a particularly sleep deprived period of months or years that comes
again,
to mind?
Again, I mean, this is Owen, and it's funny because I'm sure I actually was sleeping more at night when this was happening than I did when I had a newborn.
Right.
But it just felt different. So Owen developed night terrors, and they lasted from about the time he night weaned. So around, you know, toddler, probably a little less than two. Until he was, I said four, but honestly, I think it might have lasted. I think it just changed into something different. He would, and I always kind of wonder if he was always having them, but when I was nursing him at night, maybe he just calmed down faster. I don't really know.
Right. You were probably so responsive that you were almost anticipating or something.
Exactly.
Like, you were like, here's a boob.
Yeah. Here, just take it. He had this thing where he screamed. Like, he would just scream and scream and scream and stare off into space. Yeah. And there was nothing. You could do. You couldn't wake him up.
Yeah.
And the first time it happened, we had guests in the house.
Oh my gosh.
Like, finally someone comes up and they're like, do we need to call the ambulance? Like, and I knew what it was. I'd read about night terrors.
Yeah.
But you don't know what that's like. Happened like every night for a month. Then it kind of was like more like 2-3 nights a week for a year. And then it got down to where it was just every now and then.
Okay.
But we couldn't figure out what it was. Did he have to go to the bathroom? Like, did he? And he didn't know, and he couldn't wake up and tell us. It was awful.
Yeah.
Really, really bad. So that was like that. It's all of the things that you don't want to happen at once. A, when you go to bed at night, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's anxiety.
And you're just bracing yourself.
You're bracing yourself. You're part of that. I did have a baby. Clara was born around the time he was 3.5. So some of that time I was pregnant or had been born. It was just like, oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah,
and stress, because who wants to wake up to a literally screaming child?
Yeah. Well, I mean, night terrors are their own topic, but if anybody out there is dealing with them, it is kind of, there is good information out there. Like you said, you had read up about them. You kind of knew what to do. And it's a thing that happens to a lot of kids, but oh my gosh, I've only experienced one and it was kind of a fluke, but I know people who have gone through what you've gone through, and it's insane. Mm-hmm. So my zombie period that popped into my mind first was having my second baby. So I had a 2-year-old, and then Reed just never, you know, like with the newborns, like they're up a lot in the beginning. And then at least what I thought at the time was like those stretches just lengthen. They go from up every hour to every 2 to every 3 to every 4. Yeah. And maybe they get up a few times a night, like, but you, there's a progression. Reed never progressed. So he slept in 1.5 to 2 hour increments from the day he came home from the hospital for 4 or 5 months. And so there was no improvement. There was no like, oh, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, last night was like pretty good. Yeah. Like they did a 4 or 5 hour stretch, or like, oh my gosh, there was none of that. And I just was so the cumulative effect of being up every 2 hours, and it was just me because I was nursing. So, and Brian was working. So it wasn't really, we couldn't really job share very much at that point. And I just remember feeling like this has gone on too long. Like I need some kind of break or some kind of sign that it's going to get better. And he never really was a great nighttime sleeper for the first year. Little did I know I would have a much worse sleeper even after that. But that stretch of time of having a toddler, and I was home with a toddler, it was summer in Arizona, and I had no work. There was no break. I was staying home full time. My husband was gone during the day. And so I couldn't take naps really. Maybe I did when the 2-year-old napped, but what are the chances they're both going to be napping? It's really hard. Yeah. So yeah.
Isaac was like that. And after Jacob, who was a pretty good sleeper, it was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then after Isaac, had Will, And I thought there was something wrong with him because he slept 5 hours at a stretch. I'm like, there's something wrong with my baby. He sleeps a lot. So, and then of course, Owen was even worse. So sometimes you get like that.
Yeah.
You think, this is as bad as it can get.
Oh, another thing I did was I was convinced that there was a little bit of reflux going on with this waking. Not so much that he was like in terrible pain, like babies with bad reflux, but just enough that it was keeping him from staying in a deep sleep. And then every time he woke up, I'd nurse him. So then he had more to digest. And so I decided to cut out caffeine during this period of time. And I didn't
have... Did that just make it worse?
It made me so angry. And it didn't really help. I do think he had maybe mild dairy stuff. And I think I tried to cut out dairy. But those decisions are so... It's so foggy. I was already so tired. And so, yeah, cutting out caffeine was probably one of the dumbest things I've ever done. I don't think it made a difference. Just made me angry.
I'm having a flashback to that feeling of true bone deep sleep deprivation. And we talk about that in the episode that we did about sleep deprivation, but where your eyes feel like they're burning.
Your eyes hurt. I was just going to say that. Your eyes hurt.
They feel heavy in your head and they feel like there's like a blanket of like lint over them or something. It's
and you
behind
feel dumb.
Them hurt.
You feel so dumb.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry guys. I know there's some of you who are in that. I'm really sorry. Okay. So now before we wrap, we're going to go further back in time. Do you have any memories or know from any family stories of what kind of sleeper you were as a kid?
Oh, I remember it very well. I was a super night owl. My mom sent me to bed pretty early. Honestly, probably it would have been better if she'd let me stay awake a little longer.
Yeah.
I've tried to kind of be a little more flexible about bedtimes for kids who insist they really don't need to go to bed at 8:30 because I remember being sent to bed.
Yeah.
Way earlier than I was tired and then just lying there.
Yeah.
And then you kind of, your brain starts going and that's when you get yourself all worked up. I would read under the covers and after a while just shut the door and read, not under the covers because stop paying attention and stay up way too late. And then I was a zombie in the morning. So that was my pattern for many years.
Okay. I don't actually have a strong memory of the going to bed. Like I don't know what time I was sent to bed, but I don't think I had big problems, but not surprisingly, my memory is at sleepovers. I was always the first one awake in the morning, probably not at 5 a.m. I mean, but still it was the first one and kind of being like, okay, what do I do till my friends wake up? So some things never change.
I remember being so grumpy about my friends who wanted to watch Saturday morning cartoons because they would be like, get up. I'm like, this is a dumb cartoon. I'm not getting up.
This is
to watch Gummy Bears or whatever's on at this time. Like, it was never the good stuff on at 7.
That's
I didn't
so
want
funny.
To watch whatever that was. Old so Hanna-Barbera funny. Stuff. So, yeah, that was me. I was the friend you couldn't wake up because I wanted to sleep till 10.
That's really funny. Well, speaking of sleeping in, what is the latest in your life that you've ever slept in?
I mean, I'm sure at some point in my life I slept all day. Like, I bet I had one of those days in college where, like, I slept until 2, got up, ate, and went back to bed. I'm sure of it, but I don't really remember. I mean, the latest I could pin that I've slept in any time in the last 10 years would probably be 11.
Yeah. 11 is, I mean, again, we're talking me, who's like such a natural early bird. But in college, if I was staying up late consistently enough, I do remember 11 and maybe even going back to sleep till 12 or 1. Yeah. I mean, that I would have had to have gone to bed at 4 in the morning, though, for that to happen. And it just, that didn't happen that often. So I just, because I've always, my whole life, been such an early riser, I always felt so, like, such a sense of accomplishment if I really slept in. Like, almost like, oh my gosh, I'm like a normal. So do you just have any general memories about what you thought about sleep when you were, say, a teenager, young adult? Yeah. You had kids really young, but I'm asking because I think teenagers need so much sleep and you have teenagers in your house, but I don't have a lot of memories of like thinking about sleep the way we think about it as adults.
Well, I kind of think that probably the typical school schedule just fit your natural sleep patterns more than they fit mine.
Yeah.
So for me, sleep was always a struggle because I always late to first hour and my hair always looked like crap because I couldn't, you know, like, I just couldn't wake myself up enough to, like, do my hair all the way before I went to school. I remember going to school with wet hair, and it would freeze on the way to school.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I remember just wishing I could sleep in longer. Like, really, really thinking that I would be more functional. By the time I got to, like, second or third hour, I was fine.
Yeah.
But it was, like, that first hour, and I had choir. And I remember, too, thinking, like, it's great that I have choir because I don't have to think that hard, but also I have to stand the entire first hour, and that was awful. And then I had kids really young, and that... You know, being 20 years old with a baby meant that I had to get a lot less sleep than I really, really craved at that time. So, yes, I am very well tuned into like what levels. I wouldn't say I was sleep deprived. That's not it. Because I wasn't going through my day in a fog. I would just say I was getting up earlier than my body wanted to.
Yeah.
Consistently.
That makes sense. One of my memories from high school is that I was staying up. I mean, I was still a teenager. I wasn't always going to bed at 9 o'clock. So I remember staying up on the phone until, you know, 12 or 1 o'clock a lot of the time, and then getting up at 6, and I would come home from school and take a nap. And I don't remember if I thought this was like a good system or just a reactionary system, but I do remember how hard it was. So I'd get home from school, probably have a snack, and I would lay down on my bed, take a nap. And I had dance every day. I mean, I danced every day, and I want to say ballet. It was like at 4:15 or 4:30. So I didn't have a lot of time. And I remember how hard it was to pull my head off the pillow. So I really was, definitely, I don't know if sleep deprived is the right word, but I was going to bed too late for how early I was getting up. But the mornings, it's not the struggle I remember in the mornings. It's these afternoon naps that then I would just, it was like my body was like honey. And I just had to pull out of bed.
Do you remember the feeling of being able to like fall asleep on your desk? I remember putting my head down on my desk for a minute and just falling asleep. Like I could never do that now, but when teenagers expend so much energy, they're active, you're busy, you're up, you're talking, you're thinking, you're just like going.
Yep.
And their brains are not really developing.
Yeah. And they fire at night, right? Like there's things that are happening at night that adults. Yeah. One time in college, I fell asleep in the library when I was studying abroad in England, and it gets dark so early there in the winter that I fell asleep and it was broad daylight and I woke up and it was pitch dark. And I was oh my gosh, how long have I been
here?
Did
I sleep all night?
But it was just, it was like 4 o'clock, but
that's so funny. You know, and I think that there's a flip side, right? Because like having kids young, like I had to deal with sleep deprivation before I was ready for it. However,
you were young.
I'm so glad I don't have it now, because the older I get, the less I can deal. Like I'm just bad at it now, really bad.
Yeah.
I don't hit the same second wind that carries me through anymore. Yeah. Now I just want to give up.
Well, and anybody who is a mom who's been through it knows this, but like anything else, it's a muscle. So you get pretty good on 5 hours, 5 hours or a couple of 3 hour stretches. You can have a full work day on that when you're doing that consistently. It's not healthy. I'm not saying it's good, but you get good at doing it. And then now if you or I had one of those nights of sleep, we would cancel everything the next day. We just wouldn't be able to hang. So that's funny. Okay. So before we wrap up, wanted to let new listeners know, and anybody who missed it, that we have an episode from our regular Tuesday episodes that's more about how to practically handle sleep deprivation as a mom. So it's kind of like there's some self-care mixed in there, and if you're sleep deprived, how can you best make it through the day? So that would be a nice pairing to this one. It's episode 87 and it's from exactly 2 years ago. So scroll back to January of 2017.
We do so much commiserating in it.
Yes. And it was actually based on a blog post I wrote when I was about to have my third child. So I was thinking about, okay, here I go. I know this is coming. How can I set myself up for not success, but survival? So it's a good one to listen to, too, if you're about to have a baby, because it was written with that in mind. And then wanted to let you guys know that on Tuesday, we are going to be talking about kids and chores, which is a huge topic and just a really good one for all ages. So make sure you are subscribed if you're a new listener, and so that pops up in your feed. And Megan, this was fun. Do you want a nap now? Do you want to go take a nap?
No, I actually think I'm going to go do something active. So it's the time of day I might have like a little slump. So
yeah, no naps, no cat naps.
No naps for me.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you Tuesday.